I'm Pamela Johnson, and this is the Bread Women Project Podcast. There's an art to finding the balance when it comes to putting together a financial strategy. We're going to start off by talking about that happy medium with today's guest. You may remember financial planner Susan Stafura. Thanks for joining me again, Susan. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks very much, Pam, for having me today.
Oh, always great to have you. So, tell me about finding that perfect balance when it comes to financial planning.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really the challenge that we all face in our day-to-day lives is finding that perfect balance financially and otherwise between living for today and planning for tomorrow. You know, we've talked before about how we're living longer and longer and doing that at a faster and faster rate. And if we don't find that right balance today, there could be disastrous consequences down the road. We really do have to try to find the balance between saving for tomorrow and yet still living for today and enjoying our lives today. You know, people work hard for their money and not having a plan for what to do with that kind of defeats the purpose. So,
yes. Yes. And it is a place where, you know, many of us, and I include myself in that from time to time, do have a really hard time making it a priority to plan for how I'm going to use my money.
Yeah. And it does take a commitment. You really do have to be interested and engaged to get any value out of the process. You know, we've met with a lot of clients over the years, a lot of people who say they want to do a plan, but at the same time find a lot of reasons for not doing one. A lot of people tell us, oh, I just can't seem to find the time. It takes too much time, or they don't want to pay for one. And yet if they could only see the value of having the plan, I think they would change their minds pretty quickly. And, you know, I don't think people mind paying for things if they feel that they are getting value from something. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But you kind of have to get there first, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Well, I know that one of the pushbacks that can happen, and I understand it, is just getting organized to give the information.
Yes, yeah, and really that's someone's biggest job in the whole process. Obviously, we can't prepare a plan out of thin air. We really do rely on clients to provide us with accurate and up-to-date information. And, you know, we try to make it as easy as possible. We'll say, just throw everything in a box, you know, pull your files out, throw it in. We'll have a courier pick it up and bring it to us. We also encourage clients to try to engage through other professionals, lawyers, if they've had their will prepared by a lawyer, their tax accountant. A lot of the information we need may very well be in soft copy format, and obviously it's a lot easier to forward that to us. So, yeah, that really is the biggest piece of work that anyone has to do. But, again, it's such an important part. And we are really relying on people very much to give us that accurate and up-to-date information. Otherwise, it just turns into a garbage in, garbage out exercise.
Right.
Ends up
right.
being a waste of time for everyone.
Right.
I find, too, that timing is everything, and you really have to try to catch people at the right moment and, and at the right time. There are times in our lives where we are just too busy to focus on something. And, you know, rather than beating ourselves up for that, just wait a bit. There will be a time when you do have a lull and a, you know, sort of a quieter time where it is a good time to do that bit of work in gathering things together.
Right. We know, you know, some of the things that might interfere with us doing it, but let's talk on the benefit side of this.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the benefits of taking the time to do this kind of work?
Well, I think one of the biggest benefits from having a plan prepared is peace of mind. We see that when, at the end of our plan presentation meetings, people just feel relieved. They're just, oh, thank you so much. It looks like a load has been lifted. And, you know, it's hard to put a price tag on peace of mind, but people do want that. You just have to look at I think it's nearly 6 million people who have a CAA membership because they want to know if something goes wrong along the way, someone's going to come along to help. That's real peace of mind. And really, it's the same thing with a financial plan. That concept is the same. And, you know, there are lots of benefits with having a plan. Another, aside from the peace of mind, I think that comes from the fact that a plan really gives a person or a family a framework, and it sort of sets the parameters for virtually every financial decision they may have to make in their lives. You know, every time a financial decision comes their way, they sort of know what the answer is going to be because they have prepared a plan. They have a good sense of where they stand and what's doable and what's not. And I think having that framework that has explored every aspect of your financial life and come to decisions about what needs to happen in those areas to reach your goals, that's the true value of having a plan. Just imagine the peace of mind from knowing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I am a strong proponent of this, especially in concert with, you know, managing, helping people to manage and invest their money. I'm Pamela Johnson, and this is the Breadwomen Project podcast. I'm speaking with financial planner Susan Stifura. She's telling us about some of the benefits of financial planning. So, Susan, other than peace of mind, what would you say some of the other benefits are?
Well, a lot of our clients come to us because there's something going on in their life and they need help with it. The financial, a life event that has financial consequences associated with it, and it's sort of a one-time thing that they may be going through and they're stuck. So having those answers to specific questions they have really help them through whatever life event they're going through. We work with a lot of clients who have just lost their jobs, and one of their very common questions is, do I need to go back to work or can I afford to retire now? And the answer to that question really directly impacts whether or not they start a new job search. In our mm-hmm. work, we'll do a retirement plan that really shows them the answer to that question. The other question we often get is, if I do return to work, how much longer do I need to work or how much do I need to earn in order to maintain my lifestyle but still reach my goals? So that's another, answering all of those specific questions. And another big part of what we do is really just educating people about what their options are, you know, whether it's what's in the latest federal budget or, you know, what a TFSA is. There's a lot of financial literacy that I think we do. And, you know, it's funny, just on the subject of TFSAs, I'm really surprised at the number of people who still don't have those tax-free savings accounts. Those were real gifts from the government. They've been around since 2009, and many mm-hmm. of the people we meet with in our work on a day-to-day basis still haven't taken advantage of them. And a lot of times it's because people think it's just another type of bank account. You know, tax-free savings account, when in fact it's really more like an RRSP.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of, you know, the even something as simple as that, people don't realize that, you know, all the good things associated with those accounts. And
right.
Another good example of that financial literacy is just trying to explain to someone the implications of not taking a certain course of action. We meet so many folks who still don't have wills or powers of attorney in place, and
mm-hmm.
yet when we start talking to them about the implications of dying intestate, they usually see pretty quickly the importance of having a will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And with that, I mean, the peace of mind, or with the planning that you're doing, I imagine comes a lot of learning since most people feel overwhelmed because they're confused.
Absolutely. It's funny. I think, you know, we have so much financial information coming at us on a daily
mm-hmm.
basis. There's so many products out there, so many financial institutions. It really is overwhelming. A client of mine was telling me the other day, however, whenever she gets her investment statements or any other financial information in the mail, she just throws it in a pile in the corner of her office, and this pile right now is about 3 feet high, and, you know, she just doesn't know, is this information relevant for me? Do I need to be concerned about it? What do I do with it? Can I throw it out? Am I safe to throw it out? So the other part of the benefit of planning is I think we can really help people not only understand the answers to those questions, but really helping them get organized and helping them sort through that information that is coming at them on a regular basis. In the work we do, we have plans, or in our plans, we have an organizational element to them. Now, they don't do your filing for you or anything like that, but they do pull everything together in one spot. And just by virtue of doing that, I think you feel more organized and on top of things. You know, our situations can be very complicated. We've got registered accounts, non-registered accounts. One person may have those accounts, their spouse does as well. They may have joint accounts. Next thing you know, you've got all these different accounts. How are they all supposed to be working together? So the organizational piece in our plans, I think, really helps to doing that and helping people feel more organized. And I like to think, too, that our plans can be a bit of a source of inspiration as well. Sometimes when you see something on paper or it becomes more real and more concrete, you may think you know what your financial situation is, but when you sit down and start crunching some numbers and analyzing it a bit more, you can see you might be in a different spot than you thought you were, perhaps. And you know, knowing that you only have to work another 5 years before you can afford to retire may inspire you to manage your spending and, you know, save that much more.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the Bread Women Project. I'm the founder, Pamela Johnston, and I'm joined by financial planner Susan Stafura. Now, a lot of us don't like to think or talk about the things that could go wrong in life. So, Susan, why is it important to have a strategy for the what-ifs?
Well, it's, you know, people don't want to think about those what-ifs in life. You know, what if I died tomorrow? What if my spouse died? Would my family be okay? Or what if I lose my job? What if I get sick and I can't work? What if I get divorced? Those life events are happening all the time around us, and we don't really have to look very far to see someone we know, a family member or friend, who's in that very situation. Now, by preparing a plan, you're really preparing yourself for those potential life events from happening. Yes, we hope those things never happen to us, but if they do, you know that you're prepared for it, that there's something there to manage the risk, and make things a little less worse than what they might be without having a plan. But I think planning is more about, you know, a lot more than just planning for those sad life events. It's also about the happier life events, retiring early, helping to educate your kids and provide them with the best that you can, or
paying for their wedding.
Absolutely. Or,
or supporting them because they can't find a job after they've graduated from university.
That's another whole podcast, Pam.
I know. We're doing it.
Yeah. Or, you know, so there's lots of positives as well. It's not, but, you know, as planners, we are always trying to prevent those bad things from happening and planning for them. And, so, you know, there's a saying that if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. And I love that saying in planning. It really describes, I think, the importance of having a plan and a roadmap for where you are headed.
Right. So we've talked about the positives, and a plan is going to help you with both the positives and the unknown, unforeseeable things. So once you've got a plan in place, or you know you want to plan for something, what's the next step? Once somebody's done a financial plan, or what's the next thing that they're...
Well, the real value of a plan is, of course, in implementing it. We can prepare the greatest plan in the world at our end, but if it just sits on the shelf, then there isn't really a lot of value in that, and you've just really spent a lot of time and money preparing something that hasn't really benefited you. So the next step really is implementing the plan. And as a fee-only or fee-for-service financial planning firm, we need to surround ourselves with a network of professionals to whom we can confidently and comfortably refer our clients. We're not able to set up investment accounts or draft a will or prepare powers of attorney or underwrite an insurance policy. But oftentimes our clients need all of those things. So we need to be in a position where we can refer our clients to people who we know and like and trust, someone who's a nice person, someone who's likable and caring and genuinely interested in doing what's right for the client. So it's important to have the right people on your team to put your plan into action. We have a lot of communication or a lot of interest from the do-it-yourself investors. They often are reaching out to us wanting a little bit of hand-holding or help. You know, I think what I'm doing is right. We had one man contact us through our website recently. He was a physician. His wife was a physician. They had a young family, and he was managing all of their investments. And they had $1.5 million. And I just thought to myself, my goodness, where on earth are you finding the time to do a proper job? You know, I think when your wealth reaches a certain level, you really should be pulling in someone. I know I would be doing that. I've been in financial services my whole life, but as my wealth grows, it's almost like the more it grows, the more uncomfortable I am with managing it. It's a big responsibility.
Absolutely.
You know, big responsibility, and I don't always know that I'm doing the right thing. I have doubts as I'm, you know, going along here. So, you know, we really try to get that message across. We have a neat little checklist. It's something that came out from the CFA Institute, and it's how to be a successful do-it-yourself investor. And, you know, after you look at this list and, you know, maybe one or two things on that list you think you can do, but my goodness, I don't know anyone who can really properly do that other than someone who is immersed in this every day, someone like yourself, an investment professional who knows what's going on out there, who's on top of the markets. It's your day-to-day, daily job. And,
Well, I want to add my two cents there, and that it took me a long time to realize that I was not the best person to manage my money.
Yep.
Because, not because I don't know what I'm doing, but because I'm busy doing what I'm doing for all of my clients. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like everybody else. I don't have the time I need. You know, when I, as a discretionary manager, I put my own money into that. But beyond that, I, you know, have other people look after it because I don't want that, that burden of my own stuff, you know, getting in the way of what I'm doing for others.
Well, and I think, too, it's always sort of in the back of my mind. It's never sort of resolved or settled. It's always sort of an unsettled feeling I have that, you know, oh, I've got to get to that, or I've got to do some work there. And so working with someone is really such a great idea. We certainly encourage it with our clients. Rather than trying to go it alone, it's such a tough slog. It only takes one market correction to for people to start to panic a little bit, and
it's pretty tough to cope with that and whatever else you're trying to get done in your life.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you again so much for taking the time to chat, Susan. It's always interesting. We always have a lot to learn, and I thank the listeners for listening to the Bread Women Project podcast. I'm Pamela Johnston.